good singing all the way around. That's just been a blessing from on high, and we bless the Lord for the good singing and the songs of Zion that we've enjoyed tonight. Take your Bible, if you will. We'll be looking at song. All right. We'll be looking in the book of Jeremiah, over in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 1. We'll be looking there for our verse tonight. I want you to look chapter 1. If you're Jeremiah, if you're able to stand, we'll stand and look at verse number 4. All right. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Verse 9. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. I want to tell you, here's an old boy with the touch of God on him. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, Father, we ask for your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've had together, not only as a congregation, but the good special music. Now, I pray you'd right every wrong, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on Jeremiah, a man made by God. Let me tell you right now, is that in the day and hour of which you and I live, we need some people that'll be called in, called up, called out, manifested, that they've been able to be with God, that God's got the touch of God upon them. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that we're living in this passage here. And did you notice that here's a man? Here's a man by the name of Jeremiah. Here's a man that not only did God create him, but God called him. And boy, whenever he'd open up his mouth, he had the touch of God upon him. Here's a man that was preaching in the face of a bunch of false prophets that didn't even know God, that didn't know the Word of God, that didn't know where God was and didn't even inquire after him. Now, that's the kind of man Jeremiah was, having to face all of that right there. I wonder how many times that people told him. I mean, we know that he's one of them that, like the king, locked up and put him in a prison, in a pit somewhere, and fed him with the bread and water of affliction. Remember that? In fact, he got so depressed at one time, he said, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to speak in his name any longer. But when I tried to restrain, I couldn't stop it. I couldn't hold it back. It was like a fire shut up in my bones in the day we live in. And we need some of that back in the country of which we live. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out what's happened the day we live in is that that religion has become a business. I know you probably don't watch a whole lot of Kenneth Copeland because he looks demon-possessed and crazy. He's a crazier than an outhouse rat. And let me tell you right now is that he rakes it in, I mean, by the wheelbarrow fools when it comes into him. But I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, if he don't go and bust hell wide open, there won't be one. He's going to be there, and him and Mr. Osteen and Miss Myers and all them other people that are contrary to the mind and the word of the Lord that are in it for business. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, Jeremiah was such a man that God raised him up. And he said, before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. He went back a long ways with the Lord, didn't he? Do you know that's exactly what God knows about you and I? Over there in the book of Matthew, you don't turn there, but in chapter number 7, about verse number 15 and 16, where he said, beware of false prophets to come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. You'd better be able to know what you're listening to and how you're listening and so forth and on. Jeremiah was a man that not only was created by the Lord, but he was called into the ministry. And he knew he was going to be called because God already told him here as a grown man that I knew you before I brought you out of the womb. I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And he said, I'm going to touch your mouth. And as a result, when he opened his mouth, people could tell who he was and where he was. In this lesson you're looking at over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 139. Don't lose your place, by the way, but over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 139. It's a good passage that we ought to remember. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And he said, and I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look at those passages there, is that God knows all about us. He knew about us before we ever got conceived. He knew about us in our mother's womb. He knew about us as we were being developed. He knew about us for what purpose that he had in mind when it came down to where the rubber is going to meet the road. Over in the book of Galatians, turn quickly there, Galatians in chapter number 1, if you will, please. There's a passage over there we ought to be looking at. In Galatians in chapter 1, it's the Apostle Paul that we'll be talking about. And the Bible said there in verse number 15 and verse number 16. And the Bible said in verse 15, and when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. I'm going to tell you something, if God puts the call of service upon you, it won't be because he saw anything. It'll be by the grace of God that he uses any of us. And he says, and he called me by his grace to, notice what, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know what that means? Is that when God came knocking on his heart's door, and he got, while you turn to the book of Romans, when God come knocking on Paul the apostle's heart's door, and when he got ready to convert him, I got to tell you right now, you'll find, is that when he received the call of God, the touch of God was upon him, and he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Wasn't no argument about it. Wasn't no wait and see matter. It was a matter of, this is what God said, and that's where I'm going with it. See, in this Bible lesson you're looking at here, in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, look in verse 14. In Romans chapter number 10, about verse number 14. The Bible said, how then shall they call upon him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? There's the touch of God, the call of God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that if tonight you've got beautiful feet, it's because they're busy carrying the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. Now back in our text over there in the book of Jeremiah, did you notice that whenever he said that, you're going to find out that in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter number 1 that we've just read, here's a man that he's called up and called out, and here's a man that's got the touch of God on him, and here's a man that's going to preach the word of the Lord. In fact, by the time you get to chapter number 3 and about verse 15, he says that I'll give you pastors according to mine heart that'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. And notice, if you will, that when you look into this chapter that's here at chapter 2 about verse 8, he says, and the priests said not, where is the Lord? They didn't know. And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. And he said, and they walk after things that do not profit. I want to say to you, God makes a plea with them, with their children, their children's children. Do you know the word pastor or pastors plural? It only occurs in 2 books of the Bible. It occurs several times here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 3, verse number 15, chapter 18, chapter 10, verse 21, chapter 12, verse 10, chapter 22, verse 22, chapter 23, verse 1, chapter 23, verse 2. All of those are in the book of Jeremiah concerning pastor or pastors. In the book of Ephesians, the only time that it occurs is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And let me tell you, the reason why God gives pastors according to his heart, that he may feed you with knowledge and understanding, that he may teach you what thus saith the Lord, and to not be involved in every wind of doctrine that comes along. In this Bible lesson that we're living in, you're going to find out that Jeremiah knew some things. He knew some things because of the fact that he knew the Lord, and as a result of that, you'll find that God raised him up for this purpose, for this hour. I want to say to you in the lesson that we're looking at, in this whole chapter there in Jeremiah. And we'll kind of flip through a little bit of it. I've already told you chapter 3, verse 15. He says that I'll give you pastures according to mine heart. And he said, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not just emotion. And I guarantee you, I'm not just trying to go on a feeling. But I thank God I can feel what I'm going on. You know, the average Baptist, and you've been around a time or two and dropped in, visit at a church here, and a visit up and down the road when you're on vacation or out of town and so forth and on. And most of the time, it's deader than 10 o'clock. What's worse than that, nobody in there knows it except you. And as a result of that, they've been going on like that for years. I got to say to you that whenever you look into it, you'll find that God is wanting to do something real and for everlasting in our heart and our soul. And let me tell you right now what happened was in the days of Jeremiah, if you read chapter number 2 real carefully, is that these are people there did not know where the Lord had gone, did not know what the Lord was doing, did not know anything about the law of God. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it showed up when they'd speak and when they'd preach. And it also showed up differently when Jeremiah, with the touch of God, came on the scene and began to preach unto them. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened in chapter number 2 was about the same thing they and I were living in. And let me tell you what that is. They got to where they were preaching and getting along with people that they used to preach against. That's what happened. You read chapter 2 and find that. They were preaching and they were praying. Listen, I remember some guys across the country that, buddy, they'd shell it clean to the cob, grind the cob up a little bit for you. And as a result of that, they preached on women dressing right. They preached on men looking right. They preached on boys getting the right haircut. Now some of those same preachers that used to amen and preach on that, now they got them long hair standing up there singing and entertaining their congregation. Something has gone wrong in the field. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I want to say to you is that in chapter number 10 of Jeremiah, about verse number 21, one of the passages we call down, he said, the pastures have become brutish. You know what that means? Of little or no value. Of little or no value in intelligence. It means that somehow or another, they didn't know any better. Naturally, they couldn't say any better. Over in chapter number 12, you don't have to turn there, but you'll find out, he says, they've destroyed my vineyard and no man's laid that to heart. In chapter number 17, in verse 16, he said they ought to speak right. Not smooth things, but you ought to speak right things in the sight of the Lord. In the lesson that we're looking at, in chapter 22, verse 22 of Jeremiah, you'll find there was a wind, the Bible said, and the Bible said that wind's going to eat it up. And let me tell you, they got to where they were peddling every wind of doctrine that would come along. And now those winds were destroying them, destroying their people, and destroying the body of God or the people of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, here's what happened, chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2. Now, in the passage there that you're looking at this evening, is that you'll find that what they did, he says, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will say to you, make no mistake about it. When you look in chapter number 23, here's what he says in about verse number 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head. He said, the anger, verse 20, of the Lord shall return, so forth and on. And he said, I've executed till that I perform the thoughts of his heart in the latter days, and ye shall consider it perfectly. Notice this, I've not sent these prophets, and yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And I want to say to you, but God said that if they had stood in my counsel, caused my people to hear my words, naturally this crowd here he's condemning, didn't, because they didn't even know where his word was. And he said, but if they would cause the people to hear my word, then should they have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? I want to tell you, you can't hide yourself, the next passage said, in a secret place from God. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find that the reason why God gave gifts to the church is that he gave us as a shepherd or under shepherd following the chief shepherd, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that the day is going to come and already is upon us. But somehow or another, folks are just not going to be interested in thus saith the Lord anymore. And you know the reason being, well, I know I'm preaching to the choir and the cream of the crop. But I got to tell you right now is, this is the book right here that will divide between you and religion. I mean, this is it right here. Anybody that comes up with an argument, this is the book right here that'll settle it. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, and I preach about once a year, mention it a time or two every time the Lord enlightens me or nudges me that direction. But in the day and hour that we're living in, try to find a Baptist preacher and just ask them, where did the King James Bible come from? Now, if you've been preaching any length of time, you ought to know that. And most of you that are in here, you're going to know that. But I guarantee the most of the Baptist preachers you come up, they don't have a clue about it. Well, I don't know. They'll say something stupid like, well, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. And what that does is not only does it make you feel stupid that you heard that, but it makes them look more stupid than what they really are. But it's every now and again, just ask one, hey, in your church, what version of the Bible? See what kind of answer you get. Oh, man, we're King James only. King James only Bible believers. Okay, that's great. That's what I'm looking for. Do you even know where we got the King James Bible from? Well, I got mine from the KJV store up there in Dallas, Fort Worth somewhere, and all that business there. I got a couple of men, you know, that knew I really liked that, and they just handed me one, their high dollar, but oh my, let me tell you, I'm enjoying it. I've bought several other Bibles, and I go back every now and again. Of course, it's hard to get away from what you've been working on for years because I can't remember where nothing else is in these newer ones, so I have to really have done my homework. But let me tell you right now is you can get a King James Bible from the KJV store. You can go to Walmart and get a KJV Bible. But do you even know where it came from? You ask that up and down the road sometime, and let me tell you, no telling how many different answers are you going to get. I want to say to you that I'm glad that I know better, and I feel sorry for those that don't. In this Bible lesson over there in the book of Jeremiah, man, what a man that he was. Here was a man that had the touch of God. Here was a man that not only had the touch of God, but others could see it, others could tell it. And boy, I can promise you right now, is that while this crowd here was religious and had gotten farther and farther away from God, they took this old man of God that was created and that was called out to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. They took him and they wanted to have him slain and wanted to have him incarcerated. And it didn't matter if he was preaching to the king or who he preached to, he preached the same word from the Lord. In closing tonight, let me tell you something. While this world is going to hell in a handbasket, religion has become but a business, a money-making business. I can't tell you in all these years that we've been here, I can't tell you how many people that I've had come through that said, oh man, listen, you could probably build a lot bigger congregation if you'd be more positive and just, you know, and I thought it was being positive. I mean, today they tell me that is some of the sweetest messages I've had. I felt like a compromiser not saying any more about than what I did. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you is that I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God has put in this book some great men and some great women that served God, and some of them paid a real price for having done so. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. This old man by the name of Jeremiah, buddy, thank God that he raised up some people like that, that we can study and see how God used him in days gone by. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, how good it is to be in God's house. And Lord, we thank you for the breath of God upon us and upon our lives. We pray that you'd continue to help us to exalt, magnify your name together. I pray you bless these boys and girls, these young men, these young ladies. Build a hedge about their heart and their mind, their life. Raise up somebody that'll be the gift of God for them one of these days in the matter of a husband or a wife. And we pray your blessings now upon this congregation. We thank you for